God is good
all the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Please tell someone next to you, welcome to church. And gradually, from the look of things, I celebrated the 4, the 7, and now I'm doing the 9. And each of them I celebrated, the church is packed full. So from all signs, it seems our winter parishioners are gradually coming in. So also, welcome back home. Welcome. Good to have you all. You know, during the summer, when I'm driving either from where I'm staying to Safeway or wherever I'm going, I'll just put my drive on cruise and with the good music with one hand, just having a fun few time. But now, I'm just... So be very careful. In our gospel reading today, we are presented with what it entails to make a good prayer. God is good?
All the time.
What it entails to make a good prayer. But before that, I would like to cast our minds back to our gospel reading for the weekend last week. Last week, our gospel reading was about the unjust judge and the widow. And the aim of that gospel was just to emphasize and invite you and I to pray always without losing hope, to pray without giving up on our prayers. Now, today, in our gospel reading, we're meant to meditate and think, what entails a good prayer? What makes a good prayer? Now, I would like to ask this question about what makes a good prayer. Thus, the person may be tall, short, whatever you can think of. Does that make a good prayer? The person involved, does it make a good prayer? I'll ask again. The time spent on prayer, maybe 1 hour, 2, 30 minutes, 5 minutes, 2 seconds, whichever time you spend, does that make a good prayer? So which means time doesn't make a good prayer. The person involved, maybe you might you might be financially capable, you might be poor, whatever you can think of, tall, short, maybe short like me, or anything at all you can think of. That doesn't make a good prayer. Which means, what makes a good prayer? A good prayer comes from where? Good, from the heart. That's what is very important about a good prayer, the heart. Because if we want to talk about that the person involved or the time spent makes a good prayer, definitely the Pharisee in our gospel reading today would be the person who made the best prayer. Because he spent the whole time praising himself. He spent the whole time glorifying himself. And then he spent the whole time looking at his next brother. I am not like this tax collector. And then finally, he's a Pharisee. It is believed that he's supposed to know the law. Now, in our gospel reading today, we're presented with two men, the Pharisee and the tax collector. He said they went up to pray. I would like us to understand what prayer they went to pray at that time. You know, for a dedicated Jew, you're supposed to pray 7 times a day. 7 times. You're supposed to pray 7 times a day. And so in the course of this prayer, we have a prayer of thanksgiving. We have a prayer of atonement. We have a prayer of intercession. You pray for those around you and things like that. But in the case of the prayer done by the Pharisee and the tax collector, it was a prayer of atonement. And when we talk about a prayer of atonement, a prayer of atonement simply means a prayer of mercy, a prayer asking for forgiveness, a prayer acknowledging one sin. God is good. A prayer acknowledging one sin and begging God, God, please forgive me. That was a prayer that the Pharisee and the tax collector went to do. Now, here is the Pharisee. The Pharisee all gathered and remember, it says they went to do what? To pray. They went to pray. They never went to have a nice time, maybe with a bottle of beer or whatever you were thinking. No, they went to what? Pray. And what is prayer? Prayer simply means the raising up of our minds and heart to who?
God.
To God. That is prayer. The raising up of our minds and heart to God. And here is the prayer of the Pharisee. Hi, God. How are you doing today? Thank you, God. I'm not like the rest of humanity. Wow. Just listen to that. I'm not like the rest of humanity. What does that say? I'm special. I'm different from the rest of humanity. I'm not living on earth. I'm far away from earth. I'm not like the rest of humanity. I'm not greedy. I'm not adulterous. I commit no sin. And then I pay my tithe. I fast. I pray 7 times. God, can you imagine that? And then finally, God, you know what, God? I'm not like this guy over here. I'm not like this tax collector who steals our money. I'm not like him. But remember, let's not forget, they went there to do what? To pray. And when I give the definition of prayer here is that prayer is the raising up of our minds and heart to who? To God. But you could imagine the words used by the Pharisee. So was that prayer? No. Instead, he spent his whole time glorifying himself. He spent his whole time accusing his next brother. So what the Pharisee did was between himself, instead of between him and God, it was between the Pharisee and who? The tax collector. Instead of the Pharisee to spend his time examining his own conscience and acknowledging his sins, he did what? He spent his time examining the conscience of the tax collector and acknowledging the sins of the tax collector. What a waste of time. Yes, that was a waste of time. A waste of time, a waste of space. Where he was sitting or wherever he took to pray, that would have been occupied by someone else. If he wants to praise himself, do that at home. If you want to glorify yourself, do that in your house. But instead, you were here to pray a prayer of atonement. But look at the case of the tax collector. Beat his chest. Few words. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. God is good. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let's get this right. It says, at the end of our gospel reading, it says that the tax collector went home righteous, fulfilled with God. It's not that God was telling the tax collector, good, go on with your sin. I love that. Go on with your sin. No. He was actually sorry for his sins and was ready to make amends. Acknowledged his sins and was ready to take the next step. And the next step was what? The step of repentance. That's why he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. But yes, I can stand here and give all the analogy about the Pharisee, condemn him, point accusing fingers at him, and say, come on, the Pharisee, go home. You're doing nothing here. But the thing is, every day, sometimes, or most of the times, each and every one of us, we are like the Pharisee. God is good? Most times. Look at me again, all of you. Most times. We act like the Pharisee. Yes, we act like the Pharisee. The sin of the Pharisee was what? A sin of pride. Too full of himself. I'm not like the rest of humanity. I pray. When I become judgmental about other people, when I become critical about other people, I don't commit sin. Oh, my children are okay. Yes, God. But that's no prayer. If we go to Romans, in the book of Romans, St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 3, verse 23, it says that all, everyone, each and every one of us gathered there, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Without any exemption, no one's exempted, that each and every one of us, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we all were in need of God's repentance. And so when we gather here to pray, it's between you, when you gather here on Sunday, it's between you and who?
God.
Between you and God. Not between you and how the next person is dressed. Not between you and how the next person is looking. Not between you and how the next person plays his or her head in prayer. It's between you and God. You direct your prayer towards who? God. That's why we're here. Between us and God. Yes, when I said each and every one of us have sinned, some people might be saying, but Father Enoch, come on. How have I sinned? I spent the whole day at home doing nothing. I've not committed any sin. From here, I go back home. I do nothing. Come on, Father, give me a break. I've done nothing. That's the problem. Yes, that's the problem. That's pride. Because if we take our time to examine our consciences, each and every one of us gathered here, we all have sinned. I'll begin with myself. Maybe I'm the worst of each and every one of you. But we all have sinned. And so when we come to God in prayer, we should come in humility. Telling him, God, be merciful to me. God, I'm sorry. And we should try our best. Like in the case of the Pharisee, his major sin was a sin of pride, a sin of self-righteousness, being judgmental about his brother. Do you find yourself in that situation? Then if your answer is yes, now it's a change of heart. Take the next step of repentance. To beat your chest like the tax collector and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And this leads me to the next point, my final point on, you know, most time when we come to the confessional and say, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. When you come to the confessional, we need that self-awareness of our sin and self-repentance. But when someone comes, or maybe a man or might come and say, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Well, I lost my temper. I was very angry today, but my wife caused it. Seriously? Then you're not sorry for your sins. Instead, you're trying to point the accusing fingers on who? Your wife. I lost my temper today because my wife caused it. Or maybe I'll go, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Oh, Father, maybe I go for confession and say, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. I was very angry today, filled with hatred, but it was the fault of the deacon. Which means I'm not sorry for my sins. Instead, I'm trying to look for an excuse why I do that. But today, God is inviting you and I to beat our chest and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Not, Lord, be merciful to me for my sins, but my wife caused it. Lord, be merciful to me for my sins, but my husband caused it. Lord, be merciful to me for my sins, but my children caused it. No. Lord, be merciful to me, for I have